Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning into the show, this is the podcast where I talk to fellow actors about their journey so far and also some really fun audition stories and mishaps and everything that involves that. We have a good time. And hey, happy September. If you're like me, it is now officially Halloween season. I gotta say it, guys. September is the start of Halloween. Like, if y'all can start Christmas in November, I can start Halloween in September. So, you know, I'm about to decorate. I think it's time to pull out the pumpkins and the skeletons and the bats and get a little spooky up in here. Speaking of spooky, today on the show, we have Aubrey Miller, who you may know best from the witchy series Just Add Magic, where she played Hannah. You may also remember her from Austin and Ally, the Fresh Beat Band, Sam and Cat. She's been working basically her whole life, and now she's taking on a new role. She has a brand new series called Me that's going to premiere this fall on YouTube that she's not only starring in, but also producing and writing. We love to see that. It was a fantastic pleasure talking to her. So here is my conversation with Aubrey Miller. And welcome to the show, Miss Aubrey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, just excited for the show and staying busy in post-production. So yeah, doing good. How about you?
Yeah. So you are in post-production right now for your digital series, Me, which is very exciting. I also started producing pretty young, so it's fun to see somebody also doing the same thing. I think it's really important that we take control of our own careers and start making content that we want to make. So what inspired you to make the show?
Yeah, you know, I've been in the entertainment industry since I was 9 years old. I have grown up on set, and I remember being on my first job, the Fresh Beat Band, and in between breaks, I would literally go around and, like, interview everybody in, like, the different departments. I'd, like, go talk to props on one lunch break and be like, tell me everything about everything in here. I'd talk to, like, our sound guys on another break and be like, how does all this work? So I've always just been, like, super fascinated with production and, you know, behind the camera, and I really valued, you know, every person that goes into making a project. And so I think when COVID hit and it all kind of got taken away and I, you know, was just at home, it was kind of the perfect time to create something of my own. And I've written several scripts before. I have like 5 originals at Copywritten at Writers Guild. So like, this has definitely been something that I've, you know, kind of been doing, but have never brought to life. And so I think just being in COVID and having that time to really put everything into something was kind of just the perfect moment. And also being 19 and kind of closing that chapter and starting fresh has been really exciting. So that was kind of, you know, the main thing behind it. And conceptually, what kind of inspired it is just starting with a really simple idea and ended up, you know, building on it. And it started as something really small and ended up blossoming into something so much more significant, so much bigger. Like, it was kind of crazy. It started as like, let's just film like a little something. And I can't do anything small. I have to like put my everything that I do. So it turned into something much bigger and, you know, elaborated on these storylines and made them so much more complex than initially, you know, we started with. And that was kind of how it all came to be.
That's so exciting. And, you know, that age range where you're at right now is such a pivotal point, especially for kid actors who are now becoming adult actors, and you're having to navigate basically a whole new world, right? Yeah. Because it's like, at least when I was your age, I was always told like, well, what you did as a kid doesn't really count anymore because now you're an adult. And you're like, but wait, I've done this my whole life. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it is. It's a weird time frame.
It's weird. And but it's cool that you're really taking it into your own hands and saying, look, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going because this is what I want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And it is that weird like transitional period where a lot of people kind of make that jump from like, you know, kid content to like really adult content really fast. Yeah. And, you know, I'm someone who's always, I've loved every project that I've worked on. And I really love, you know, the family space and the kids space. I think it's such a fun place to work. And, you know, I've really enjoyed doing that these last 11 years. And so with this show, you know, I did want to blend some of those genres and, you know, make something that the whole family can enjoy. I didn't want to make that jump and neglect my young following. You know what I mean? I still really love that space and, you know, appreciate all my young audience and really want to make something that they can enjoy, but also that like their older sibling can enjoy, maybe that their older sibling would even turn on, you know what I mean? So something that really like the whole family can sit down and watch. And I think that was something really beautiful about Just Add Magic, my previous show that I worked on, is it was kind of that like, middle space. It wasn't like adult content and it wasn't like made for little kids. It was something that like really any age could enjoy. It was clean enough for the young audience, but it was interesting enough for the older audience. And so I think that was something I really tried to accomplish with this show. So yeah, sometimes.
That's exciting. And it's very true. I feel like there's less content that really does make that bridge these days. Like, it's either like, let's go for the R ratings, let's go for the crazy, or we're going to make it so that only like 7-year-olds are going to love it.
Exactly. For sure. It's funny because my whole cast, we have like 3 of the kids are young. We have a 13, a 12, and a 14. And that's like those 3. And then we have a 19, and then I just turned 20, and then a 21. So that's like the 6. So we kind of have that little split gap, but it's really interesting because the shows that like we grew up with were so like, so many people of all ages watched it. Even when I was on Austin and Ally, I had so many like 20-year-olds, 17-year-olds, you know, like that older teen, even 25-year-olds like watched Austin and Ally. That was such like a relevant show for so many people. Or like even iCarly. Like I can talk about iCarly with my 3 younger kids, but I can also talk about it with the 3 older kids on the show. And it was just something that like everybody watched. And it is that thing now where it's like you either have to watch like Disney Junior or Riverdale. Like it's one or the other, you know what I mean? It's kind of finding that like middle tier. And I know those are the type of shows that I watch are kind of the things in that middle ground, but they're hard to find nowadays. And so that was a real like mission of mine, was to make something for everybody and not, go one way.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's going to find you success too, is really tackling something that other markets aren't focusing on. Like, it's a very smart business decision as well when you look at it like in a broader spectrum.
Yeah, for sure. It's missing.
So take me back. Take me to the start of your career. Were you one of the kids who also came out of the womb just singing and performing and doing all the things? I know most of us are like that. It's like you're born and you're like, oh, please pay attention to me because I love entertaining. Was that you? Did you?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I'm an only child too, which, you know, kind of, you know, immediately makes that happen. But yeah, for sure. I've been dancing my whole life. I grew up as a dancer. I started dancing when I was 3. So like, living room performances were my life. You know what I mean? Always had a mic in my hand, was always dancing. But what's really funny is I had like no idea that acting was like a career, like that someone could do. No idea. I thought that you like had to be, I don't know. It wasn't a thing in my mind that somebody could do. You just had to be in television world or else. Like, I feel like nowadays with social media and everything, people can really see that it's, you know, a job that people can actually take on. But my era, if you weren't Miley Cyrus or Selena Gomez, you didn't have a shot. Like, that was not a job for you. But I knew Broadway was a thing, and that was something I really wanted to do. So was always dancing, was always singing, was always, you know, performing. And definitely the stage has been my home from day one. I did competitive dance. So like, just any time that I can be on a stage, like, that was home for me. Any chance that I had to perform, that was the greatest thing ever. And I really wanted to be on Broadway and ended up coming out to LA to pursue my dance career and help me get to that next step to go to Broadway. But ended up getting a dance agent and auditioned. My first audition ever as a dancer was for the Fresh Beat Band. And I walked into the audition room, like, prepared to dance, freestyle, whatever they needed me to do. And they handed me a script. And I was like, I'm not sure what this is, but sure. And I read, like, 3 little lines. Next thing I knew, that same day, I was in the fitting room trying on, like, the costume for my character. And booked it. And literally walked onto a set. We filmed on Paramount, which is, like, the most magical place of all time. And was like, I don't know what any of this is, but I know I want to do it for the rest of my life. And that was pretty much that. And I never stopped working. So Broadway took a little detour.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 9.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And that was your like first experience acting, doing anything like that?
Yeah. Had never picked up a script, had never been on a set, had never even auditioned. It was my first audition. It was like crazy. So it happened really quickly for me, which I'm really grateful for. But crazy experience. One of the best memories that I still look back on. And every time I go to Paramount, I'm like, this is my favorite place ever. It just has all of those, you know, feels. And it feels like everything Hollywood is like supposed to feel like, I feel like is what Paramount feels like. And then funny enough, the soundstage that we filmed on, I got to go back and film on a little bit later when I guest starred on Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn. They had the exact same soundstage as the Fresh Beat Band just a few years later. And it was really fun. I was hanging out with the cast and I was like, let me tell you the set secrets about this soundstage because I was here first. So I gave them all like, you know, the haunted stories and everything from like Happy Days and everything that I'd filmed there. So really, really fun.
Yeah. That's so cool. So you did the Fresh Beat Band and how long were you on that show?
I was on the show for a season. So they had the kind of concept of the Fresh Beat Band is it was like the 4 main characters and then they had like mini versions of themselves called the Junior Beats. So I was one of the Junior Beats. I came in on the last season of the show and then the show was canceled after that. So
you can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So you do the Fresh Beat Band, and then what? Are you just like on a roll after that? Are you just booking constantly?
Yeah, finished the Fresh Beat Band. The show had gone for like 4 seasons previously. They just like rotated out the kids. So I was the last one that came in, and then got an acting agent and just kept booking. Yeah, I remember I did Kicking It shortly after that, and then Austin and Ally, Shameless, took a big jump there. Californication, just, yeah, one thing after another. Crazy.
And then how old were you when you got into Just Add Magic? Because that's like, that's the role that you're really known for, right? Is Just Add Magic?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's funny. I feel like some of my guest stars actually battled Just Add Magic a little bit for that spot. Austin and Ally, like, I still get recognized for sometimes, which is crazy. And Sam and Kat is still a really predominant role of mine. Even Shameless, it's really funny. I was working on Me, and we have an amazing band in the show called St. Luna. And they were like, wait, you were on Shameless? And I was like, yeah. And I like gave them the episode. They're like, we love that episode. So it's so funny. Some of those like roles stay really predominant in my life. But Just Add Magic for sure is one of my better known roles. And I started that when I was 12. It was like 12 bordering 13. Wow. The show came out in 2014, so I was 13 when it released, but we filmed it like a year before it actually came out, so I was like 12 13, something like that.
And how long did you do that? I mean, that show was on for a while.
Yeah, we started the show at around 12 14, and I finished it at 17.
Wow.
So yeah, pretty much my whole teens were on Just Add Magic. It's funny because the way that we filmed it, we ended up filming it over the span of, several years we took filming the show. But the way that it kind of released only came out to like 4 seasons. but we were filming for much longer than that. So it's kind of a weird timeline when I talk about Just Add Magic, because we would film like a year before it would come out. It was crazy. But yeah, yeah, I would say I started around 13, 12 and finished at 17. So it was definitely on it for a hot minute.
And that's, it's a cool experience to be a part of a show for that long, because it's like you really create that family environment, and especially at that age where you're really like making this leap of being known as like, you know, doing the younger roles. And now it's like, okay, you're slowly getting into that like teen slash adult area. So it's really fun to be a part of something for that long, because it's like those years are so precious. And like you said earlier, like Just Add Magic had that that bridge where it wasn't too adulty and it wasn't too kiddie. So it kind of sounds like the perfect show to grow up on.
Yeah, it definitely was. It had that, you know, place to grow where you weren't, you know, stuck being super young and also not having to go super old. The funny thing about it, and I don't think a lot of fans realize this, but us as actors definitely had to deal with it, is the entire show, apparently, according to the writers and producers, takes place over the span of like 6 months. And so I remember.
But you guys keep getting older.
Yeah. So everybody had a birthday on the show but me. In fact, one of our characters had two birthdays on the show. So we always had like these birthday storylines for our characters, but my character never had a birthday. So I remember I walked up to one of our like producer writers one day and I was like, am I still 12? And they were like, yeah. I'm like, sure. Okay. So apparently from ages 12 to 17, I was still 12. good times, but so funny. So hilarious.
Am I still 12? What a question to have to ask.
I know. They're like, we could pretend that you had a birthday. And I was like, no, that's okay. That's fine. I'm okay.
It's okay. I'll live in this forever. It's fine. I'll be like the permanent Benjamin Button.
Yep. So funny.
Wow. So you finished Just Add Magic, and then what? Is that when you decided you wanted to start like really focusing on making your own stuff as well?
Yeah, I think I've kind of always known that I wanted to go behind the camera at some point. I just never really had the right time to do it. And so when Just Add Magic ended, I was definitely, you know, interested in doing that. Still, you know, focusing on a little bit more of the acting side of things. But I would say around that time, I had already developed several scripts. So definitely, you know, knew that that was a direction that I wanted to go in. But again, just kind of waiting for the right moment to do it. And so I think when this opportunity came along, this was really like, okay, now's the time. Which is crazy. It's, you know, I believe that God has a perfect plan and like everything happens in his timing. So it's just kind of amazing to see how certain things work or how certain doors close so that new opportunities can open, or how, you know, you get really close to one project and then it's like, had I gotten that, this wouldn't even be a thing. You know what I mean? So it's kind of amazing to see that evolution and how that's happened. But yeah.
Wow. So on this podcast, we like to share audition stories. They can be ones that have gone awry. They can be funny ones. They can be the one that got away. Do you have any stories that you would like to share with the listeners?
Oh my goodness. I have so many audition stories. It's crazy. What's a fun one that I can share? I feel like my Kickin' It audition was a really fun time. So was my Austin Alley one, but I'll share the Kickin' It. I played this little pageant girl who was not very talented, in simple terms. And this was one of my first auditions coming off of Fresh Beat Band 2. And I was obsessed with Toddlers and Tiaras. Loved that show. That was like my show. So I got this audition and I was like, I understand the assignment. I know what needs to be done. Like, I got this. And I walked into this room. I did not have a pretty dress on. I did not look like a pageant girl. And I remember everybody in the audition looked like they just walked off of Toddlers and Tiaras. I mean, faces were airbrushed, hair to the highest, most beautiful, sparkly outfits. And I was like, well, I'm not dressed for this, but that's okay because I know what needs to be done. And so I like walked into this audition room and I actually make this joke often that if you want somebody to dance poorly, get a dancer to play the role because they know every rule to break. So I kind of went in with that mentality for this and did the signature like Toddler and Tiara, like leg circle jump thing, you know, where they like hold their leg in the air and jump in the circle really poorly. And I was like, all right, it's go time. Let's sickle this foot. Let's like, you know, have my hip turned, like all the things. And I remember I did that in the audition along with all my other lines. And I was like, this is great. This is a good time. It fulfilled all of my Toddler and Tiara dreams. And I was leaving the audition. And I remember the people in the room were laughing really hard. I left the audition. And as I was like walking down the stairs, my mom's phone rang. And they were like, yeah, she booked it. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh, you booked it before you even left the building.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. That's a good audition.
It was a good audition. I have fond memories of that audition. Yeah. That was a really fun time. And then I got to do it all on set when I booked the job and got to play with you know, the amazing cast. And the lead actor was from Hannah Montana, which was like my childhood. And so it was such a fun time. And that was one of the first jobs that I had where I walked on strictly as an actor and was not there, you know, to be a dancer, even though I, you know, got to dance and do those things. And so that was a really special experience and special audition that led to everything else to follow.
There's an important lesson in your audition story here that I want to point out, and it's that, you know, your wardrobe does not define how good you are in the room. Yeah. I mean, I've always been told that you should go in as a blank canvas because that's what we're supposed to be as actors, is a blank canvas. But I can remember when I was on Castle, it was for a goth role and I had like auburn hair. I did not look very gothy. I didn't own gothy things. I just wore black and put on some boots and said, this is what you're getting. And everyone else in the audition room like went for it. Like they had the fake piercings everywhere and like all of the things. And I was like, I'm not that person, but you can make me that person. That's totally fine. And I ended up booking it because I think there's like a level of like, no, I'm confident in myself and my skills. I don't need to create the character for you in that aspect. Like, as long as I'm good in my acting and I know what I'm doing with the role, that's what my job is. You guys have to do the rest.
Absolutely. And what's really funny about that too is my character in the show, you can go back and watch the episode on Disney Plus, never wears a sparkly dress. That's not who she was. You know what I mean? So I think I also understood, like, she's not the perfect beauty queen. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not who she is. And so, you know, that was something that I took into account with it too. I actually was in this like seminar thing with Octavia Spencer and who's the other actress? Who's the main character in Mom?
Allison Janney,
thank you. So I was in a thing with the two of them, and they were saying, your audition is not your final performance. That's not the thing that you're going to get on screen. And it's so true. You know, it's a great space to play. And I've always been someone who loves the audition process. I know a lot of people who don't like it, or, you know, it's like, oh, it's fine, but it's just like the hurdle that I have to do to get to, you know, what I actually want to do. And I've loved it so much because I did grow up as that person who would put on shows in my living room, or the person who just craved being on stage. So any chance that I had to perform, you know, I took with open arms. And so I've always approached the audition room as just another stage and another chance to play and perform. And like, whether I get it or not, you know, I can't book every job. That's
right.
If I booked every job, nobody else would ever work, and nobody wants that. And vice versa. If there was somebody out there who booked every job, then I would never get to work, and that wouldn't be fun. So, you know, it's just like all about going in there and bringing people to life. And, you know, there's so many factors that go into getting a role, like so many things. It's not even always.
There's so many things. It can be your eye color that you don't get it. I know that one time I booked a role. One of the reasons I booked a role was because my name was the same as the director's ex-girlfriend that he was still in love with. So, like, there can be any reason why you book anything, just anything.
Be like, you had the best performance, but you're a little too tall for the role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or one that I get a lot is I look too young to play a lot of, you know, the older characters. So, you know, I've always approached the audition experience with so much love. And even now going into making my own show, like every script that I've ever read has impacted me in some way, you know, and you just can't trade that for anything. Even I had a friend who is going out for a project, and he was like, hey, can you help me with this? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm going to read the full script because obviously, you know, I want to help you with this, but there's just so much to learn from auditions and from scripts. And I think that it's such a, like a blessing and a wonderful experience that we get to have.
Yeah. I, for one, can't wait to get back to in-person auditions because I feel like it's much more collaborative. You get that feedback. Like, I want to be in the room. I want to be able to talk to the casting director. I want to be able to ask questions if I have them. And I want her or him or they to be able to give me feedback or give me the redirection.
Yeah.
Because acting is such a collaborative thing that, like, you don't have that person saying, actually, you know what, can you do that again and give it more of this? Then, like, we're not able to do our jobs fully.
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot agree with you more. Like, I'm dying to have in-person auditions back. There is something about being in the room that just is such a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And even, like, cues that you're able to pick up on. I mean, I've gone into auditions several times and been able to make decisions on the spot based on the reactions or based on the way that the reader is delivering things, or you know, those little notes that you get are just priceless. And there's no better feeling in the world than like getting a laugh in a room. That is just like the best.
Or like knowing you nailed it and you're like, yeah, I did it.
Yes, absolutely. I remember when I was auditioning for Shameless, it was a really dramatic role for me. It was something that I hadn't really played with a lot. And I walked into that room and, like, you know, sat in the chair and just had this whole moment. And I remember looking up at the end and seeing everybody's eyes filled with water and everybody wiping their tears. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I've never brought someone to tears before. I've never had this like reaction. And that was such a powerful moment for me. And, you know, I look back on that audition very often as well. And you just can't, you don't have that same thing with all the self-tapes anymore, which is really sad. But hopefully we'll be back soon.
I hope we go back soon. I, for one, am very excited to see what you do next. And I'm excited to watch your new show, Me, which premieres this fall. Is that correct?
Yes, this fall.
Awesome. And where can people follow you on social media to keep up with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, well, they can follow me on Instagram at Official Aubrey Miller. My Twitter is Aubrey K. Miller. My TikTok's the same as my Instagram, Official Aubrey Miller. Hard to get handles everywhere. The if you want to stay up to date with all things Me, it is Me Original Series on Instagram and TikTok, and Me _ the series on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, I'm stoked to see your new show, and I can't wait to see all of the fun things you do in your career. And thank you so, so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking with you.
Thanks again to Aubrey for coming on the show and spending a little time with me. Make sure you are subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. Leave us some love, some stars, some words. And make sure to follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post some really fun stuff. And tune in next week for my conversation with Paula Rhodes. And until then, thanks for coming in.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.